Look at this beautiful facility. Wow. Wow. I didn't know it was outside. That's a plus. No, absolutely beautiful. It's so great to be here with you all today. I've only ever been at one other pool opening, and it was for my own. So this is great. This is great. I'm so excited to be here with you all. Wanted to share a little bit about my journey and learning to swim and kind of the importance of learning to swim. I want to share a little bit with you all about my own personal journey, maybe a couple Olympic stories here and there, and also kind of our process of getting our new pool, because I definitely understand the process you all have gone through with getting this pool built. I'm going to be honest, I don't know when I learned to swim. I've kind of always been in the water, and I think that is such a beautiful thing and something that I have always taken advantage of, that I know how to swim. That is definitely not the case for so many individuals. You know, I think at USA Swimming, we like to say swimming is the only sport that can save your life. And I think that's a really, really awesome thing to live by. So I hope this pool is going to be able to bring that to this community, because you all deserve it so much. There's nothing more important than teaching people to swim, and then spreading the joy that our sport brings. Swimming is a lifetime sport. You can do it from, well, however old you can learn to swim. I would say 4 years old until you're 100. So it is really going to, the impact that this pool is going to have on this community is going to be really incredible. Even though I didn't know when I learned how to swim, I started swimming year round when I was 8. You guys are familiar with the Evansville pools at all. I grew up swimming at Lloyd Pool, and I really hope none of you had the chance to go to Lloyd Pool, because it was pretty traumatizing. While it was an indoor 50 meter, there was a bulkhead down the middle, so it was 25 yards at one side, and it was 28 yards at the other side. And we shared the pool with 8 other teams. So during the winter, I would swim in 4 lanes, and we'd rotate. So you betcha I was swimming in that 28-yard pool almost as much as I was swimming in the 25-yard pool. The pool wasn't deep enough to have blocks all the way down. The ceiling was caving in, so every time it would rain inside the pool. And it was just the amount of things we found on the bottom of the pool or in the locker rooms are, I'm not going to name them. So I swam in a pretty disgusting place. I never had a locker, and I thought that was something that felt a little odd. The place where I spent all of my time didn't ever really feel like home. I was always wanting to get out and go swim somewhere else. So I remember at 8 years old, my mom going to a city meeting talking about building a new pool when I was 8. And then another time, I was 10. She kept talking about building a new pool. Then when I was 12. And it just seemed like by the time I was in high school, she'd been to probably 6 meetings with the city council talking about getting a new pool built. And I just never thought it was going to happen. I really didn't. Until I kind of out of the blue made an Olympic team. That helps. After I won my 2 gold medals in Rio, we went to yet another city council meeting. And my mom said, all right, this is it. This is the time. Like, you made something out of yourself. Maybe they'll believe us that we need a new pool. And I got up, Michaela Jenkins got up, a Paralympic champion. And we were talking to the city council, giving them the biggest sob story they'd ever heard about why we need a new pool, and I'm pouring my heart into it. And we get about halfway through the meeting, and they said, well, Lily, do you want it to be 8 lanes or 10? And I said, well, let's make it 10. And they said, done. And I was like, that's all it took? Really? So that was the day we got approved to get the pool built. And jokingly, you know, being sarcastic about the sob story I was telling, actually did start crying as soon as they approved the pool to get built. So I do understand what you all have been through with trying to get this pool built and the joy that it's going to bring to this community. That being said, I'd just like to share a little bit of my Olympic journey. Hopefully have some fun stories, learn some good lessons. I started swimming when I was 8 years old competitively. I was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I went to a swim clinic in Mount Vernon put on by an Olympian by the name of Janet Evans. sure some of you guys know who Janet Evans is. If we have any swimmers, she's like the original Katie Ledecky. Like greatest distance swimmer probably of all time until Katie came along. And I was swimming at this clinic and I was the slowest kid in the pool. I hadn't been swimming year round yet. And I'm sure all the parents sitting in the stands were looking down saying, oh my God, that kid's mom needs to come get her. She's about to start drowning. I didn't know what was going on. I was getting lapped and lapped and lapped, but I was having a good time. Anyway, the swimming portion of that was not what was really important to my journey. What was important to my journey was when we got out and we were doing a little chat with Janet. And she said something that has stuck with me my whole life. Now, Janet was a very, she was really short. She had a very unorthodox stroke. Everyone was like, why is Janet so good? This doesn't make any sense. And she said at that clinic, she said, I was never the most talented swimmer, but I was able to outwork everybody. And that's why I got to where I did. Now, little 8-year-old Lily, who got lapped 18 times that day, took a step back and said, huh, I'm definitely not the most talented swimmer here, but I can't outwork everybody. That is something that is within my control. So from that point forward, that was all I was doing, was trying to outwork the person next to me, beat the person next to me, do this better, do that better, kind of climb my way up the ladder. So I started to climb a little bit. I would qualify for a state meet, and I'd go to state meet, and I'd get last. And then the next year, I'd qualify for state meet, I'd go to state meet, I'd get last again. And it kept happening, probably 4 times. Until I turned 12. And this was the next step in my career that really, I think this is what really launched me forward. I showed up at our state meet when I was 12. I was seated 8th. I dropped 3 seconds the week before. I qualified for the meet. I was seated 8th. And we all know top 8 gets a medal. So I was like, sweet, I just want to get a medal. I just want to make the final and get a medal. That'd be so, so cool. And I swim my prelim. I drop another 3 seconds, and I qualified 4th. And I was like, wait a second, that's pretty close to first. So pretty much the whole rest of the day, I was telling myself, I was like, I'm going to win tonight. I'm going to win. I was telling my mom, I was telling my dad, I was telling my coach, tonight's the night, I'm going to win. And they're like, yeah, okay, Lil, like, no big deal. You got it. Good luck. And I got up on the blocks as confident as I'd ever been before. Like, I'm looking around the pool, who's getting second? Because it's not going to be me. And if you guys have ever watched me swim, or at least watched me swim in my early days, I was very well known for taking things out really, really fast. So I took the race out what I thought was really fast, and we got to the flags at the other end. I took a stroke, and I turned to look to see who was behind me, and no one was there. I was in dead last halfway through the race. So I turned and I said, well, all right. I thought we were winning today. So I took off the second 50 and I touched and I won the race. And as cheesy as it sounds with everything that I've done in my life today, that was probably my favorite swim I've ever had. Because I had put all that work in for 5 years, 4 or 5 years. And I won after getting last so many times, after never seeing the fruits of my labor, never seeing any progress from the work I'd been putting in all those years. And 4 years of work for a 12-year-old is a lot. That was a large portion of my life. And finally, I had that confidence from all that work I had put in to hit the wall and do something great. And I'll tell you guys what, I walked into the start of 7th grade that year. I was like, I am the coolest kid in school. Don't talk to me. I'm a state champion. You all are beneath me. Which is funny, because that's kind of how I carried myself throughout the rest of my career. But from then on, I kept just developing, getting better, started to win things. I won junior nationals. I started making national teams. I qualified for junior Pan Pacific Championships. I started to get to travel with Team USA. And it was so cool, because I don't think anyone ever thought I was going to amount to anything. I don't think anyone within the city of Evansville thought I was going to do anything with my life. You know, I just went to practice at this junkyard pool and swam high school, and they were like, maybe she'll go to college and do something cool. Yeah, okay, I won a couple state titles. That's great. But I don't think anyone ever thought I was going to become the Olympian that I did. So I kind of always had that chip on my shoulder, especially going into college. I decided I was going to swim at IU against a lot of people's wishes, I think, funny enough. I know for at least people in Evansville, going to IU is a very normal thing, so they expected that. But within the swimming community, that was not a popular decision. I was the fastest breaststroker in my high school class, and they thought I needed to go to California or Arizona or Florida. And I decided that saying, woo! I really wish I could have tied that into the story. I decided that staying close to home in a program that I trusted and a coach that I trusted that may have not been the most popular coach was going to be what worked for me. Things I was looking at in the college was there a lot of coach turnover. I had 5 coaches in 4 years. So I wanted a coach that was going to be stable. I wanted a breaststroke group that was improving. So when I was looking at college programs, IU did not have a very fast breaststroke group at all, on the women's side at least, but they all went best times the year before, every single person. Also, my freshman year was the year before the Rio Olympics, so I wanted a team that was going to prepare me to reach my goals. A lot of teams aren't as focused on the long course season. They're a lot more focused on short course, so collegiately that was great, but I had bigger dreams than just the NCAA. So I ended up going to Indiana. It kind of fit the bill for everything. I wasn't too far from home. It wasn't going to be too big of an adjustment right before the Olympics, so there I was. and I'm still there, so it was a good decision. But going into my freshman year of college, I was the third fastest American breaststroker in the 100 breaststroke, which sounds great, except I'm sure most of you know the third place in any event doesn't go to the Olympics. Only top 2 make the Olympic team. So at that point, I got to college. I was immediately bought in. I was training more than I'd ever trained before. It was the first time I'd ever had people to race at practice that weren't my brother. Thanks, Alex. And the first time I'd lifted weights. It was really the first time I had a team that was all in on me and knew what I could do and knew that I was going to be something great. And having that support system around me, I think, really just catapulted me to that next level. Now, luckily, I got a lot faster my freshman year. I swam NCAAs. I broke 3 American records, won 2 races. And at that point, we were kind of like, okay. Well, I think we're going to make the Olympic team here. I knew it. I don't know if anyone else did. My mom did. She booked her flights to Rio in March before Olympic trials. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, I went to Olympic trials. I unsurprisingly qualified in the 100 breaststroke. And then I did surprisingly qualify in the 200 breaststroke as well. So I was going to Rio at 19 years old in 2 events and then a relay. So I was going to get to swim 3 races, and that was pretty awesome. We were at training camp. So before the Olympics, we have typically 2 camps. So we'll have a domestic camp and then a foreign camp. We didn't actually, that's a detail that doesn't matter. We didn't even have a foreign camp in Rio. So our first camp was in San Antonio, and I showed up. I'm 19 years old, this little kid from Evansville, Indiana. I'd never been on the national team before. I'd never been to world championships. I'd never been to Pan Ams. I'd never been to Pan Pacs. And all of a sudden, I show up at training camp, and I'm on deck with Katie Ledecky and Missy Franklin and Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte and all these people I had watched my whole life swimming on my TV. I mean, Michael had been an Olympian since I was 3, and now we're on the Olympic team together. So I was really just a sponge, really trying to take everything in. Having the time of my life. There was no better time than that training camp. My heroes were now my teammates. That was a really, really cool thing to process. I felt like I was finally getting the life that I'd always wanted. And that was really cool. Until my coach, who also got named to the Olympic staff, luckily, he called me over one day and he said, "Hey, you know the Russian girl that won world championships last year?" And I was like, "Yeah, what about her?" He said, "She just tested positive for a banned substance." And I was like, "Ooh, okay." So typically, when you have a positive drug test, you don't get to compete. That's usually what happens. You cheat, you don't get to race. Okay. Pretty simple concept, right? I thought so. And we are... So I said, okay, well, I guess she's not racing. So we keep going through training camp. A week later, he calls me over. He said, hey, so the Olympic committee decided that she is going to be racing. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. Week later, called me over. She's not racing. A couple days later, calls me over. She's racing. So what I'm getting at is this decision went back and forth 5 or 6 times until the day of opening ceremonies. I was racing 2 days later. The day of opening ceremonies, we got the news that she, in fact, would be competing in the Olympics. Now, it wasn't like this was just any swimmer. This is the reigning world champion. This is the one person who had a chance to beat me for this gold medal. And it wasn't a contaminated supplement that she was taking. She was taking this substance on purpose. It was for patients with heart disease. And for reference, Maria Sharapova, who, funny enough, just got inducted to the Tennis Hall of Fame against my approval, was taking the same drug and had to serve a 4-year ban. And now Yulia Efimova, the Russian swimmer, never served any time for taking this drug. So I felt pretty gypped, right? Guys, these balloons are killing me. Killing me. It's all good. I really hope, again, it hits at like a good time. So we're getting ready to race. Everybody's telling me, all of our media people are telling me to just stay out of it. They don't know me at this point. They don't know why I can't stay out of anything. Like, just swim your race. Don't worry about it. No big deal. I said, okay. So swim our prelim. Everything was fine. Then we get to the semifinal. And this is when everything went down. So how it works is you have prelims in the morning, semifinals that night, and then you have the morning off, the next morning off, and then the final will be that next night. So I am watching Yulia swim the first semifinal because she was the second seed. I'm swimming the second semifinal because I was the first seed. And we're in this little teeny tiny like cinder block room with folding chairs and a dirt floor. Like that's the Olympics, guys. It's not as glamorous as you may think. Nothing was finished in Rio. So I'm sitting in that room with the folding chairs and one little TV in the corner and just watching her swim the race before me. She hits the wall and throws this number one up in the air. And I was like, now wait a second, I haven't swam yet. Well, I was being pretty, I was just joking around. I was like, I haven't swam yet. Stop wagging your finger around. I didn't know that other than me, the other 7 girls in that heat, the folding chairs and that little tiny TV in that room, there was also a teeny tiny camera in the corner that with the letters NBC written under it, and they had seen everything that I'd done. So I didn't know. I went out, I swam my race, touched the wall, qualified first. I threw my number one up in the air. I was like, let's go. Top seed of the Olympics. This is great. I get out for my interview and the reporter, who, by the way, this reporter is not just like some random little sideline college kid doing interviews. She was the sideline reporter for the Super Bowl for the last like 15 years. She knew what she was doing. So she looks at me and she asks, well, what was this all about? And there's a brief moment. You can catch my eyes if you've ever seen the video. And my eyes are like, oh no, they saw what I did. They caught me doing this. What I didn't know was what they had played back to every single household in the United States was this. Remember how it happened? I don't think so. I haven't slammed yet. What they played back was this. No, no, no. It was like slowed down. Like my voice was crazy. It was nuts. So I went viral. I didn't realize it. I got back to the village that night and one of our team captains, who's also a good friend of mine, Elizabeth Beisel, a very larger than life human, runs up to me. What did you do? And I was like, what are you talking about? I looked down at my phone because I finally had service. My phone's like blowing smoke out the bottom of it. I've got all sorts of retired swimmers tweeting at me like, yeah, Lily, get him. I've got CNN tweeting at me that I had restarted the Cold War. I had Samuel L. Jackson tweet something at me that I'm not going to repeat because we have children in the audience. It was wild. Samuel L. Jackson? Me? A 19-year-old kid from Evansville, Indiana? Really? So I was like, oh, crap. As if an Olympic final isn't enough pressure, now everyone's watching. This is the marquee event of this Olympic Games, and it's my fault. So then I'm kind of having those what ifs. What if I lose? What if I win? And I'm really just starting to freak out. But I got my morning swim in that next morning, and I showed up to the pool for finals, nervous as I could be, as one is before an Olympic final. And I got in the pool for warm-up, and I'll tell you guys what, I felt freaking great. I felt awesome. Like, any swimmers in here, you guys know when you get in for warm-up and you felt better than you've ever felt before? And it's like every stroke, you're like, yes, yes. That's how I felt that day. So at this point in time, I knew Yulia, the Russian swimmer, I knew she was the better swimmer. Drugs or no drugs, she was the better swimmer. She was more athletic than me. She had taken drugs, so like we knew she had that on me. She was more experienced than I was. She'd been faster than I had been several times. It was not looking great for me. It was not. But with all of the media attention that I had drawn in the night before, that was really getting to her head. And I said, well, what am I good at? How can I change this to play to my advantage? And I said, what I'm really good at is the mental side of things, is my mindset. That is something that I am really, really great at controlling. I have talked myself into winning so many races, and I can do that again today. But I'm going to have to freak her out in the ready room. So we get back to the ready room right before the race, and everyone's getting ready to race. You know, they're stretching, they're listening to music, focusing on their race. They've got headphones on. Everyone's just being serious. Okay. As you would expect before an Olympic final. Not me. I'm strutting around. I'm talking to people. I'm like, hey, I like your shoes. What'd you guys eat for lunch? Isn't the dining hall disgusting? Like, you know, I'm just distracting people. And then I get up on Yulia. She's sitting down, headphones on, looking at the ground. And I look up under her. I'm like, just making sure she can see me. I'm being obnoxious. I'm like smacking my arms and my body and just being as annoying as I could be. And we walk out. And how it works is you walk out eighth place to first place. And so she's the second qualifier. She walks out before me. They say, lane 5, Yulia Efimova. And the whole crowd boos. The whole crowd. And I was like, whew, that's pretty harsh. I mean, I know what she did, but dang. Whole crowd of 20,000 people booing you. Not an experience I would like to have. And then they go, lane 4, Lily King. And it was great. And I was like, yay! I'm at the Olympics! Well, again, my whole thing was I got to freak her out for this race. So we get behind the blocks. Everyone's, you know, stretching, getting ready, shaking out. Not me. I'm standing there completely still. Staring at her. I'm just staring. Wasn't doing anything, just looking at her. I'm waiting for her to look back at me. She didn't. But I think she could feel my eyes. I think she felt it. And so we got up on the blocks. Let's take your mark, go. Now, Yuli and I swam very, very different races. She was one that would take it out really slow. She was much more of a 200 breaststroker. I was much more of a 50 breaststroker. So my whole goal at this point in my career was take it out as fast as I can and pray to Jesus I could get home. That was the whole strategy I had. I call it runaway now. Runaway was the strategy. So sure enough, I take it out faster than I've ever taken it out before. And I hit the turn at the 50 wall. I look, I'm a body length ahead. Which, for the swimmers out there, you guys know when you're that far ahead in a race, you're either one, having the race of your life, or two, oh no, you went out way too fast. And I turned, I did my pull out, I took one stroke. Oh no, I went out way too fast. So I kept swimming, and sure enough, Yulia's catching me. She's catching me. Every single stroke, she's gaining on me. We hit the 75 mark, and we're dead even. We're stroke for stroke, heading into the wall. I could not write better television than this, you guys. And we were dead even. We hit 15 meters out of the wall. I took one stroke. I caught this second wind. And at that point, I knew I had it. I took off into the wall. I touched, and I watched her finish. And I'll tell you guys what, if that's not the best feeling in the world, I do not know what is. But I think the really, really cool thing about this story was that I was able to change the game. I took it from a race of just purely physical readiness to one of physical readiness and mental preparedness. I changed that to play to my advantage. I think we focus so much on our weaknesses that we forget what we're good at a lot of the time. So that's my challenge to you all. Make sure you remember the things that make you great. I have about 10 minutes left to chit chat. I can tell another story. How about we talk about Tokyo? I'll talk to you guys about Tokyo. So that was the Rio Games. I win the 100 breaststroke. It's awesome. And I swim the 200. It doesn't go as awesome because I may have woken up at 4:30 in the morning to do Mike and Mike the morning after my 100 breaststroke against my coach's advice. It was awesome. Totally worth it. and then I won another gold medal on the 400 medley relay later that week. So really, like, my first meet was went as incredible as it could have gone. So I go back to school. I have to go back to real life after that. I keep swimming fast. I break the world record the next summer. Win 4 world titles. Again, it goes as well as it could have gone. The next summer, we go to Pan Pacs. I win my races. The next summer, we go to world championships. I win my races. Then we have COVID. So we all unfortunately remember that. And then it was time for the Tokyo Games in 2021. So I had gone 5 years without losing the 100 breaststroke. 5 whole years. I hadn't lost it in a prelim, not in the final, not at world championships. Never. So I remember leading into Tokyo telling people I was going to have to lose an arm or a leg to lose that race. If you guys are Olympic fans, you unfortunately have to remember that I have all of my limbs and I did not win that race. I showed up for the 100. I wasn't feeling great. I had gotten beat in the semifinal the night before. I showed up for that final. And on the flip side of in Rio, when I was going over to the pool, convincing myself that I was going to win, I was telling myself I was going to be okay if I got a silver medal. So instead of preparing to win, I was preparing to lose. And I think that's a big part of why I ended up losing that race. I swam the race the exact same way I always did. I prepared the exact same way I always did. And somewhere deep inside me, I knew I didn't have it that day. I touched the wall, fully expecting to see a number 2 next to my name. And instead, I saw a 3. So I'd gotten beaten by Tatiana Smith, the South African swimmer, and my 17-year-old Alaskan teammate, Lydia Jacoby. And it was a really, really awesome swim and story for Lydia, not for Lily. It was not good for me. It completely broke me. I had the worst swim of my life at the worst possible time. I was one of the only shoo-ins to win a gold medal at that Olympics, and I failed. I remember we had a whole crowd of people watching me at Bossy Field, watching me win the 100 breast and then get 3rd. That was definitely a tough pill to swallow. Unfortunately, I had to come back in 2 days and swim the 200 breaststroke, which traditionally had not been my best race. I had never medaled internationally in it. I wasn't as confident in myself in it. But it was something I'd been working on improving for years and years and years. But at this point, with how bad my 100 was, I really just wanted to make it back top 16 in the 200 breaststroke, get a second swim. And I showed up, I swam my prelim, and it went all right. I qualified 2nd. I was like, oh, I do know how to swim. We're good. And swam my semifinal. I have a balloon right here. And I swam my semifinal. I qualified sixth. I made the final. And I was like, ah, yes. Okay, we're good. I made the final. Now, again, Tatiana, who had beat me in the 100 twice at this point, was having the meet of her life. And we knew she was just like nipping at the heels of the world record the whole meet. So we knew she was going to do something really special in this race. And I remember telling my coach, Ray, before we went, I said, I'm going to take it out as fast as I've ever taken it out before. He was like, okay, you always say you're going to go for it, but you never really fully go for it. I was like, no, today's the day. I'm going to do it. And sure enough, I took that race out really, really, really fast. I didn't want to have anything left in the pool. I didn't want to regret anything about that race. Have one thought of, I could have done this different. I could have done that different. So I took it out really fast. I turned at the 100, second under world record pace. Okay. I was 2 seconds slower than the world record. My best time was 2 seconds slower than the world record. So taking it out a second under world record pace was not the most feasible thing to do. I turned at the 100, realized I had to do that again, and swam my way to the 150, and it hurt, you guys. It hurt real bad, really bad. I turned at the 150. I made eye contact with Tatiana off of the wall, which was really weird, and we've discussed that since, because I don't think I've ever made eye contact with anyone swimming ever in a race, just her in that Olympic final. At this point, I'd taken it out so fast, I blacked out, I finished the race, and I touched the wall, and when you win, when you're top three, the block will light up with like one light, two lights, or three lights, depending on what place you got. And I look up and I see two lights on my block. And I was like, what? I got a silver? In my worst race? Well, my worst race that I swam with the Olympics. You know, 2 days after, I had the worst race of my career. So I won a silver medal. My teammate and future bridesmaid, Annie Laser, won the bronze. She's my training partner in Indiana. Tatiana had won and broken the world record. And I had broken 220 for the first time. And only time now that I'm retired. And I think I was only the sixth woman in history to ever do that. It was the swim of my life. And I got second. It took a world record to beat me. And I think that just goes to show you that it does not matter how your meet starts. It doesn't matter how your day starts, how your week starts, right? But if we are able to forget that it happens, I think it's important to learn from our past. But sometimes to be the best version of ourselves we can be, we have to drop that bad experience and move forward. And that's what I did that week. I went from the worst race of my career. Yeah, probably that's the worst race ever. Worst race of my career to the best race of my career, even though it was a silver medal. Best race of my career in 3 days. So I think that just goes to show you that your mind is a really, really powerful tool. And I hope the young swimmers here can really start to use their minds as a powerful tool now that you have a facility that matches the dreams that you're working towards. So thank you all for letting me be here. Excited to get this ribbon cut and watch you guys grow and succeed in the sport. Thank you.